It's times like this that make me wonder how an existentialist from the northern beaches of Sydney ended up in a village in England as an ordained Buddhist ringing church bells on the weekend for fun. And along the same lines, how an Australian, a mob that prides itself as being defiantly anti-authority, finds herself working at the administrative centre, the community, and giving a talk in praise of structures that support and to an extent define that community. Ama o Dharma wondrous strain. Anyway, I'm here, and this morning I hope to communicate three things. Firstly, that there's been a great deal of thought put into how the order, this incredibly important vehicle for the communication of the Buddha's teachings, will continue to thrive and grow after Sangharakshita dies. Secondly, that the structures and institutions that have been put in place are just webs of Kalyanamitrita, connecting women and men who have chosen this way to serve Sangharakshita's particular vision for communicating the Dharma. And importantly, that in getting a better understanding of this aspect of Tri Ratna, people feel that they're able to engage with and influence these structures, because it's only through collective engagement that Tri Ratna can continue to be relevant to us as members and as a vehicle for taking the Dharma into the world. And that's where the co-creation and the bodhicitta bits come into my talk. But I'd like to start with the Buddha, and more particularly with the Buddha's central teaching, Pratityasamutpada. Things, phenomena, arise and come into being upon conditions and fall, when those conditions fall or change. We are all here, listening to this talk at this order weekend, on the basis of a whole range of conditions, probably hundreds of thousands of them if we looked at them carefully. But let's just take one, and it's the one that we all have in common. 1967, Sangharakshita started teaching meditation in the basement of a building in West London. 1 year later, he ordained a group of people into what is now the Tri Ratna Buddhist Order. Now, in 2015, there are hundreds of autonomous Buddhist centres and groups in 27 different countries around the world. There are over 1,800 members of the order, and in India alone, there are more than 1,000 women and men training for ordination. I see some nodding, furious nodding. Every day, there are hundreds of people walking through the doors of Tri Ratna centres to learn how to meditate and transform their lives through the practice of the Dharma. And as you walk through the door of any of those centres, anywhere in the world, language differences aside, there is a familiarity. You know you are practicing in a Tri Ratna centre. That sort of sustained growth doesn't just happen. It requires vision, it requires planning, commitment, and a sensitivity to context and conditions. It's a reflection of Sangharakshita's genius that he not only provided a particular presentation of the Dharma that is accessible to people living in the West, but he also thought deeply and carefully about and has overseen the development of structures, organisations and processes that have allowed this presentation to flourish over the last 48 years and hopefully well into the future. So about 9 years ago, at a question and answer session with the members of the College of Preceptors, Sangharakshita described his vision in terms of four lineages: the lineage of teaching, the lineage of practice, the lineage of organisation, which subsequently became the lineage of responsibility, and the lineage of inspiration. Now, I'm someone who thinks visually, and so this is my take on how the lineages come together. The lineage of teaching represents Bhante's approach, the Dharma, and is based on the books he's written and the talks he's given over the years. I'll be saying a lot more about the lineage of responsibility, so for now I'll just say that it represents a range of institutions and structures that facilitate the dissemination and practice of Bhante's teachings. So these include what we all used to know as the three C's, centres, cooperatives and communities, which operate on a local level, together with organisations such as the European Chairs Assembly, the International Order Team, notice the new rebranded name, the Preceptors College and the International Council. And these operate on that sort of meta-international level. So, where doctrine and facilitating structure intersect, you have the lineage of practice. These are the common practices we do, the metta-bhavana, the mindfulness, our sadhanas, the six-element practice, the sevenfold puja, the sort of things that provide the sense of familiarity when we visit different centres. And underpinning all of these lineages is the lineage of inspiration. It can be described as the flame that is handed on from teacher to student, from generation to generation, that keeps the traditional alive, relevant, and responsive. It is in many ways that gold thread that links everything here back to Sangharachara, and from Sangharachara through to his teachers, and back through his teachers to the Buddha Shakyamuni. So these are the four lineages, and this is what Sangharachara had to say about the lineage of responsibility. And of course, one could say there's the framework, the organisational lineage. That also has its own importance. The structures that need to be carried on, and in some cases perhaps modified if they no longer fulfil their original purpose. So while he didn't say an awful lot about the lineage of responsibility, he did lay the foundations for and encourage the development of a number of key groups which, together with the flame of inspiration, will hopefully support the lineages of teaching and practice of the Dharma well into the future after his death. So I'm now going to have a look at the meta-organisations, those groupings that have a degree of multinational and international responsibility, the European Chairs Assembly, the Order Office, and the Preceptors College and the International Council. These organisations represent three strands of Tri Ratna: the movement strand that has responsibility for centres and the most direct and outward-facing interface with the world; the order strand, which has responsibility for supporting the order worldwide; and the college strand, which has always had responsibility for the ordination process, but at this time of transition has been exploring its role and how that might need to change as the order and movement grow and spread and we look to a future without Bhante, the single most unifying force for our community. Finally, there is the newest structure, the International Council, which is the body that brings together all three strands and crucially provides the channels for communication, not only across all three strands, but for all people who are part of and engage with Tri Ratna across all areas of the world where we have a presence, from the bottom up and the top down. I'm not going to say much about the order and the movement strands for today. I'd like to particularly concentrate on the International and the Council and the College because of the important connection between those two groups, and also because the International Council is probably the structure that is the least known and arguably will have one of the most crucial roles in maintaining the unity of the community following Bhante's death. So briefly, the movement and order strands have been part of the Tri Ratna infrastructure, obviously, for some considerable time. The movement strand is represented by the European Chairs Assembly, which supports centre chairs, not only across Europe, but more and more so, it's reaching out to support chairs across the world. The Assembly meets twice a year to provide a supportive environment for chairs to come together, to share experiences of running centres and explore issues of relevance. And interestingly, over the last couple of meetings, there's been a focus on how the chairs and the college come into relationship and how they work together more effectively. The International Order Team is headed up by the two International Order conveners, Paramin Lakeshvara, and has a virtual team of people supporting them, the newest of whom is here, Bimla Matti. Together, this group, and in particular the two international order conveners, is responsible for organising and coordinating a range of international multinational conventions that cater for up to 600 people at a time from all over the world. Now, sometime in between being a journalist and hitting the brick wall, I worked for the Australian office of a multinational pharmaceutical company. Yeah, I've got a lot of karma to burn off. We had a team of five full-time people dedicated entirely to organising conferences for 200 to 300 people at a time, at most, and that's all they did. When I look at the order team and the international order conveners and what they managed to achieve, it amazes me and makes me think about superpowers. Over the last few years, the conveners have also developed a network of area and regional order conveners in different countries to help them in their work and to provide a more effective way of communicating with the order. And so to the college. It was in the late 1980s that Sangharakshita began to hand on his responsibility for ordinations to a group of senior order members, and this became the genesis of what is now the Tree Ratna Preceptors College. Then in 2000, on his 75th birthday, Banti handed on most of his remaining responsibilities as the founder of the order and the community to the college. It was a deliberate decision to hand on to a group rather than to one individual, and to do so in advance of his death. The college currently has 34 active members, the newest of whom is Punyamala. And it's a shame she's not here, but yeah, I just wanted to congratulate and rejoice in her. While the majority live in the UK, others are based in continental Europe, India, Australia, New Zealand, and the USA. They also manage to cover all those countries where the Tree Ratna community has a presence. The college sees its primary work as helping to deepen a mutual understanding of what it means to go for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. As I said earlier, the way in which this manifests is by overseeing the Tree Ratna ordination process. At a recent college meeting, its members also looked at how its role is changing within the community, and this process is ongoing. Part of the change is seeing its role as also passing on the spirit of the Tree Ratna Buddhist order by preserving, sustaining, developing and communicating Banti's particular presentation of the Dharma, coming more explicitly into relationship with the lineage of inspiration in a way. They've started using, it's on their website, a quote from Gustav Mahler, which seemed to speak to all of them. Tradition is handing on the flame, not the worship of the ashes. The college also works closely with the order and movement to balance the increasing cultural and social diversity of the order and community with a need for unity and a common way of practicing together. How all this happens practically can depend on the resources and interests of the individual college members, but as all of you will have experienced in some way or other, this can include participating in retreats, for mitras training for ordination, giving talks, modelling and developing Kalyana Mitrata, and training private preceptors. One of my jobs is to support the college, and it's an incredible privilege to be able to do so. What I see close up is the dedication of these people to their practice, to the well-being of the order and the movement, in the service of the Dharma and for the benefit of all beings. What I don't see anymore is an institution or a group, but that web of Kalyana Mitrata that I referred to earlier. I see people like Jnanashiri and Karanamaya from India, two women who are over 60 working to support 800 to 900 women who are training for ordination. I look around the room here and I see Dhammadina, Parami and Ratnadharani, to name just a few, who have been involved in and worked for the order and the movement for decades, continuing to engage in any way they can, with little or no financial support. I see Damarati, chair of the college and the International Council, who works tirelessly 7 days a week sometimes. This March, he'll step down after 10 years as chair. And the college, the order, and the movement are all the better for his service over that time. And I know there are those of you in this room who see the person who brought you gently and magically into this order. I could go on, but time doesn't allow. I would like to make an observation, though, and for the sake of clarity, this is a completely personal observation and does not necessarily reflect the views of my current employer. My current employer. There's been some interesting discussions going on within parts of the movement, the International Council, and the college, about the college's role. As some of you will remember, Sangharakshita handed over the headship of the order to the college in 2000, and Subhuti, on its behalf, put it down again in 2003. Anyway, whether the college can lead or head the order, and by extension, the community, is an interesting question, which I've been reflecting on. I think most of us view the college as a sort of unified body that speaks with one voice. And to the extent that the integrity of our ordination process depends on a unified position, on the effectiveness of someone's going for refuge, it is and must continue to be unified in that way. The college is, however, also a free association of individuals who may be united principally on matters other than ordination, but may not necessarily agree on how those matters may manifest in the order and the movement. So while there is a college that provides a single unified position on things such as ordination, suspension and expulsion, there is also, like the order, a group of people who at some times do not necessarily agree on all matters. Can a structure like that provide a single point of leadership, particularly after Bhante's death? Should we expect them to? Personally, I was a little confused by some of the ambivalence inherent in the college putting down the headship of the order. But after getting more of a sense of who they are and what they do, I can understand and appreciate that position. So is the college actually just a part of the thread of the lineage of inspiration, individually and collectively modelling Sangharakshita's presentation of the Dharma and preparing the way for the next generation? Is it just a particular manifestation of Kalyana Mitrata in this system? It'll be interesting to see how the public preceptors continue to think about themselves and their vision, how that's communicated more broadly, and how it comes into relationship with the order and the movement. It may also be interesting, and I actually think it's really important, for us as an order to reflect on what leadership, headship, or inspiration might look like after Sangharakshita dies. Something for the discussion groups after this, perhaps. I've got my own thoughts, but I don't want to influence what might come out later on. So moving swiftly on, in 2009, in what is the Western Buddhist Order, Sangharakshita said about the college and its relationship to the rest of the order and the movement, "The public preceptors, because of their spiritual responsibilities, clearly have a key position in that architecture. But there are various groupings of senior order members who have overlapping responsibilities that between them cover the whole order and movement. Public preceptors, private preceptors, chairmen and chairwomen, presidents," and this is a little remark from him, a little aside, "the office of president, it seems, needs reinstituting. Order conveners, mitra conveners and chapter conveners. There needs to be some liaison between them so that they are not just going their separate ways or coming into some sort of conflict. I know that a process of liaison has been started, and I'm hoping that that will result in a much clearer collective objectives for those particular bodies and perhaps some overall structure. We definitely need such a structure if we are to be effective, and we need even some sort of headquarters at which that structure is focused. And so the International Council started to come into being. The International Council brings together all three strands of the Triratna Buddhist community in a way that also connects all areas in the world that Triratna has a presence. They are the UK and Ireland, mainland Europe, Latin America, Spain, South Pacific, India, and the US and Canada. So, at an area level, you have six representatives, two, a woman and a man, from each of the strands. So, two college, two order, two movement representatives. These groups, the area councils, come together at least annually at a local level as the area council. And every 18 months or so, all of those area councils come together, thus far either in the UK or India, as the International Council. It's at an international level that the area councils bring with them issues of importance to their strands and their areas for discussion and, where appropriate, action. So that's your bottom up. That's everyone out there, all over the world, feeding in to the centre, to the International Council. So the first of these meetings was held in Padmaloka, 2011. The second International Council was held in India in February 2013. And then the third one was held here at Adistana in 2014, in August. In between International Council meetings, its steering group, and its steering group, got another little illustration, the one down the bottom. There it is, it's in there. Its steering group includes its chair, which is currently the chair of the college, three members from the college strand from all over the world, three members of the order strand from all over the world, and also three members of the movement strand. So it comes together four times a year to monitor progress on actions coming out of the International Council and to deal with urgent issues that arise between meetings. The steering group is made up of members of the International Council, as I said, from each strand, and it's currently chaired by the chair of the college. So the main focus of the first International Council was the clarifying and communicating of Sangharacharya's system of practice. The second meeting explored the importance of bringing intensity to one's practice with an emphasis on the ethical dimension, a theme that was also central to the paper A Superpersonal Force. The themes of leadership, commonality of practice, and ethics were the main areas of discussion for the August meeting. And again, because of time commitments, I won't go into these outcomes and actions in depth, although I will deal a little bit later with some of the outcomes of the most recent meetings. But for those of you who are interested, there is an International Council website that not only has summaries of the meetings and outcomes, but there's also audio and video material, as well as lists of the participants and the area representatives. My own experience of these meetings has been inspiring. To watch people from all over the world with different responsibilities, needs, areas of concern, and ideas come together, and through facilitation and communication and trust, to watch them drop their stuff to provide the space for the creation of something bigger and more beneficial has given me more of an understanding of why Bhante believes the bodhicitta is most likely to arise as a result of collective practice. That is a real felt experience that I've had of all of those meetings. Again, the women and men who participate in this process often have a range of other responsibilities, have day jobs and families, but manage to find ways of being of service by bringing this important institution to life. And it is this group of people, the representatives of the movement, the order and the college strand in the UK and Ireland, who are your link to the International Council, and if you choose, the direct channel of communication that you can engage with as a way of shaping Tree Ratna. And let me give you an important example of what that can look like. In mid-2013, both the college and the International Council steering group were given a copy of a draft of Subhuti's paper on commonality of practice. Members of the college fed back comments to Subhuti directly, and there was a further conversation about the paper at its meeting in March 2014. And shortly after that, the paper was released with the support of the college to the order via the Order Information Service and SHABDA. Nothing new and surprising about that part of the process, really. However, in this case, there was a new parallel process in operation. The International Council Steering Group felt that there were other ways in which the concerns raised in that paper could be addressed. And this involved then two different means of moving things forward. The first involved the organisation of two colloquia, one on spiritual death and the other on mindfulness, and in particular, the area of secular mindfulness, to assess their place in Sangharacharya's system of practice. The second, which was overseen by the International Order Conveners and supported by the International Order Convening Network, involved a direct consultation with the Order about the commonality paper. The outcomes of both were then fed back into the International Council for further discussion and amendment at a meeting in August 2014. Those outcomes were then presented back to the College at its meeting in November last year, and in the case of the revised commonality process, back to the Order in January this year. As a result of this parallel process, there is now a one-year pilot project on mentor direct pointing that is due to be launched in April, and there are also retreats that have been organised both here at Adhisthana and at Taraloka that look specifically at what we can learn, particularly in terms of teacher training and inquiry from the secular mindfulness area. The learnings of those colloquia, together with the feedback from the Order, resulted in the development of a more streamlined and simpler process for assessing new practices and, where appropriate, integrating them into Tree Ratna's system of practice. And there was an email that was sent out when I said this came back to the Order in January. There was an email sent out to the entire Order through the Order Information Service that had links to the Order feedback and also to the new process, and Dhammadina's paper talk on discipleship, and also Parami running through what this new commonality process looks like, a slideshow with her voiceover on it. So you can also find that on the Buddhist Centre online as well in the Order spaces. And if you haven't looked at it already, I would really encourage you to do that. So this has the support now of the College, and the initial feedback from the Order and groups such as the European Chairs Assembly and a recent meeting of the UK and Europe Men's Preceptors have also been very positive. So the really exciting thing about this and the inspiring thing is this is an example of what can happen when you actually involve all three strands of Tree Ratna from all over the world in the decision-making process. And it shows that engagement and participation in structures can make a difference. As Kay Masuri said yesterday, even small changes can bring about a big difference to a system. I'm going to go a bit off-piste. Parami's looking scared. And it's bringing the political, my political side in, and this is around the participation stuff, and it's around how dangerous I feel it is these days that people have become so cynical about the political process that they choose not to engage with it. Because that's what some people want. They want you not to engage with it. Because when you don't engage with it, people can do whatever they like. So the more difficult becomes, the more we need people's engagement. And I'm not saying that there are people in structures in Tree Ratna who have got some evil plan. They don't. But what I am saying is that if you... What I'm saying is don't feel helpless. Don't feel like you can't have some way of shaping our order. And when you shape our order, you shape the way then it goes out to the world. So, coming back on piste. Your participation in structures can be as simple as keeping up with what is happening at the International Council or the College through their web spaces and engaging with the ideas come out of there or actions through chapter discussions and writing to chapter. It could be as generous as financially supporting members of the College of Preceptors in their work or contributing to your regional order convener's expenses. It could be that you want to feed directly into the process that shapes the international discussions about issues affecting Tree Ratna on a local and global level. So, as a start, my apologies that some of you weren't warned about this. Here are some of the extraordinary people who bring these structures alive. So, could any chapter conveners or link people who are here please stand up? Have a look. Thank you. Could any regional order conveners who are here please stand up? Take a good look. Could any area council members who are here please stand up? Yeah. Could all steering group, International Council steering group members, please stand up? It's an international group. Could all members of the College of Preceptors who are here please stand up? Could all members of the International Order team who are here please stand up? Funny, isn't it, how some people... Yeah. And could all members of the European Chairs Assembly who are here please stand up? Okay, so have all of you who have just stood up, please stand up again. Okay, these are your go-to people. Embrace them. You can do that literally too, yep. So I just want to make one final point, and that's picking up on something else Kay Masuri said yesterday. Just as action and engagement have an effect, so does not acting or not engaging. So I suppose my request would be to make your engagement or non-engagement conscious. At least then, If you choose not to participate in the structures that hold and shape Tri Ratna, you will at least continue to be aware of the directions in which these structures are moving things. It's when the decision not to engage is unconscious that you risk waking up one morning, looking around and thinking, this isn't the order I joined. And that would be tragic. So whatever you choose, as I said at the beginning of this talk, it's only through mutual engagement and understanding, through collective dialogue, that Tri Ratna can continue to be a relevant vehicle for taking the Dharma into the world. Strange as it may seem, understanding and participating in the development of structures and institutions that support and facilitate ideas and ideals is something that I get excited about. But it was actually the desire to support people like Dharmarati, Parami and Mahamati, and the many others who have, over the years with Bhante's guidance, worked sometimes against their own preferences, positions of responsibility to put those structures into place that brought me here to this English village where I ring bells on the weekend to get my jollies. It's actually the people and the Kalyanamitrata that bring these organisations alive, make them relevant and make them sustainable. It's where the lineage of responsibility and the lineage of inspiration meet in the service of the bodhicitta. And it's where tradition becomes the passing on of the flame rather than the worshipping of the ashes. Thank you.